24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. Good morning. 8 o'clock hour underway on this Wednesday, the 10th day of November. Glad you are here. And you're going to be glad you're here because we're going to make some news today. I was just going through the usual afternoon, let's see what's going on in the world routine of seeing what might happen on the next day's program. And social media starts to crackle alive and the buzz starts to generate and word starts to murmur that there may be an announcement in the offing at midday coming from First District Congressman Louie Gohmert. Well, I'm interested. I'm all in. Louie's been a friend of mine. I mean, literal friend of mine, not just friend of the show, for a long time. And anything he wants to do is going to be interesting to me. Well, it's going to be interesting to all of y'all because he is, and we're going to ask him about the meaning of this exploring verb, a run for Texas Attorney General. So I can't count the number of times, and they've all been delightful, that I've said, hey, here's Congressman Louie Gohmert. But on this particular issue, it is a real pleasure to welcome Louie and see just what's going on. Welcome back, my friend. Nice to have you. How you doing?
Well, thank you, Mark. It's good to be had. But yeah, it's interesting times, and your interview of our Attorney General recently, as he was responding to George P. Bush and Eva Guzman and Matt Krause, the three people that had announced they're running for Attorney General, his answers kind of made me mad. And look, the seven top people, we're talking about his first assistant Attorney General, Jeff Mateer, one of the finest people in the state, conservative movement leader, and he led the seven top lawyers at the Attorney General's office, all Republicans. You know, we're not talking rhinos here. And when they all signed a letter to the FBI saying Ken Paxton, we believe, has committed crimes and needs to answer for them, that was serious. And for them to be called criminals and maligned, these are conservative people of integrity. And as you know, it happened in Tom DeLay's congressional case. He won the primary, got indicted, and Tom was being a team player, said, take my name off the ballot. The Democrats sued. Texas law says you can't remove a name from the general election ballot if the person won the primary. Paxton only won with 50.57% of the vote in 2018. When all the stuff that comes out, he's not going to be able to win. And then you'll have all the big cities of Texas with Democrat DAs and a Democrat attorney general to protect them. Now, you got three nice people, George P. Bush, Eva Guzman, and Matt Krause. They're good people, and they're running. But so far, George P. has the highest polling number. He's 17-18%. They don't even get to 50%. If the election were today, Ken wins and we lose the attorney general's office in the next year's election. I'm willing to run, but it's late in the game. I'm not crazy. I know you've got to have money to run statewide. If I can raise $1 million in the next 10 days, I will. It's not exploratory. This is actually a condition precedent. If I get $1 million in contribution, that means $100 from 10,000 people, then I'm definitely running. It won't be just exploratory at that point. But if I don't raise that, I'm not crazy. I know I can't win without plenty of money. I'll have a lot of grassroots support, but you've got to have money with the kind of stuff that'll be thrown around in this election, especially as our attorney general gets more desperate as stuff comes out. But he had some material lapses, terrible judgment, and he's filed some great suits now. I agree with some of the suits he filed, but I'm telling you, if I can raise $1 million in 10 days, I'm in. Nobody will outwork me, and it's as in the campaign nor as attorney general. We're fighting for Texas because as Texas goes, so goes the country, and the country's in trouble.
Congressman Louie Gohmert is here, and you've answered the first question I had, is what does exploratory mean? This is not an official announcement for Attorney General. It's, a, like you say, kind of a conditional thing. And I listen, let's tell people, it's an applause meter. It'll either happen or, and by the way, there are people listening right now who totally love you who may not take you up on this because they're fine with Kent. Your job and George B's job and Eva Guzman's job and Matt Krause's job is to make people not fine with Ken anymore. And we'll examine that here in a second. But tell, let me tell people where to go. Is that the Gohmert.net website? Where do you want to send people?
That's it. That's absolutely it. Gohmert.net. That gets you to the site where you can donate or read what we're trying to do.
So $1 million in 10 days, and you will enter this race, correct?
You bet.
Okay.
You bet. Absolutely.
At that point, and as I knew you would do, because you're never less than forthright, you've sort of laid out the logic. And let's say it happens. Let's say we're talking again at the end toward Thanksgiving, and you got your $1 million and you are in the race. The pitch is, you don't have to tell people how great you are. You don't have to tell people about your conservative heroism. As I've told a million people, I mean, George P. has a lot to recommend him. Matt Krause is a great guy. Justice Goodman, they're all great. But it's about making Ken Paxton unelectable. And it seems that you are hinging a lot of that on these attorneys who bolted and spoke ill of Ken. Ken says they are disgruntled of ex-employees.
Yeah.
You say they are honorable people, and you did not enjoy hearing Ken malign them. Isn't that a ton of inside baseball that might not move a single vote? That what moves votes is the stuff Ken is doing, which I think by your own admission is almost all good.
Yeah, but you got to look at the motivation. I mean, what really plummeted, got him to great national attention was when he filed suit against the swing states for changing some election laws without going through the legislature.
Right.
That's unconstitutional.
Right.
Well, a couple of days before that, I was talking to another state attorney general, a good dear friend, and we were trying to come up with a state who could file that suit. And as he said, we don't want Texas to file it because you had some election laws changed by other than the legislature in Texas. So under court system wording, we didn't have clean hands. So we didn't want Texas to file it. We thought South Carolina would be a good one to file. They didn't change any election laws. And Ken didn't care. He needed to change the big stories about the seven people, the top people in his office, pointing out some terrible indiscretions that most of us believe will lead to indictments after the primary. And we do know DOJ, they have gone after people inappropriately. This isn't one of them. But he filed that suit to change, you know, the whole picture and the news about Ken Paxton. And he got great acclaim, including from the president and others. But he keeps telling people, look, you know, these guys, it's just like President Trump's situation. You know, they were criminal insiders. No, no, no. These people were not Obama fans like the ones that went after Trump. These people are conservatives, they're Republicans, and they are people of integrity. So you're right. The suits he's filed, some of them have been terrific, but that was not one. He actually hurt the case. There was no way he was going to win this because Texas had done some of the same things he was alleging other states did. So that was a lapse in judgment for him to jump in. But he was trying to get some good PR. He did. He's still carrying that good PR. But he should not have been the one to file that suit.
Good PR wins elections. The definition of good PR is it's called voters liking what you're doing. And if I'm hearing you correctly, is you're floating what you consider as a strong belief that we can, you know, sail along and have Ken be the nominee on March 1st. And then you seems like you have an expectation that he will flat out feel a heavy shoe drop of indictment, making him damaged goods for the general election.
Yep. And I understand that somebody that has been discussing this with the prosecutors, there are six assistant U.S. attorneys working specifically on this case to have it ready after the primary, 10 FBI agents. And like I say, we know the DOJ has gone after people unfairly.
I know.
This is not one of those cases. And I'm stepping up. I got to try because I see this train coming down the track. And if people elect Ken on the primary ballot, then I think we're pretty much done. As Texas goes, well, we're not going to have a powerful law enforcement person who's not a Democrat from the four cities. Those will be all Democrats. And then you'll have a Democrat AG. I mean, he just barely won in 2018. And that was before all of this stuff, you know, the mistress, the getting her a job and then having to use AG's office to defend the guy that hired the mistress. I mean, it's just really unbelievable what all has gone on. And we got to clean this up. And I realize it's a long shot, but I love the people of Texas. I love my state. And I have confidence that the people of Texas are going to ferret this out and say, yeah, you did a nice job on some lawsuits, but you were letting wrong decisions come from the wrong place. So,
Do you run the risk of your own fan base having the following logic that says, boy, Louis makes some pretty good points, and maybe Ken is going to be damaged good. So what I want to do is go find an alternative to Ken Paxton. But the reason I love Louis is as first district congressman, and I don't want him to leave that job in your own good PR, we might call it, may keep some people from. I mean, so let me ask you about the notion of, I think you made clear why you feel compelled to seek the AG job if you get the $1 million in 10 days. Yeah. But boy, that also means leaving a seat in Congress that you have served so well since the election of 2004. What kind of thought process went into leaving, especially we're about to get the majority back. Why leave now?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Mark. Of course, you always ask great questions. But I tell you what, if it had not been for the election a year ago, I would have been scared to leave, because who's going to have the nerve to stand up when his own party is lying and not doing what we promised we would do? But I'm telling you, Mark, the last election, we didn't just get one or two solid conservative people of integrity, smart folks. We got a whole bunch in that last class. And we had a whole bunch of them join the Freedom Caucus. They are some of the most strident, conservative, honorable, honest people. I have been so uplifted by the people there. Now, they tell me I'm an inspiration to them, that I inspired them to stand up, and they're just wonderful folks. Some of them have stood with me when we demanded proper civil rights for the January Sixers. They've done wrong. They need to be punished, but you don't punish in pretrial confinement. That's been going on. I'm telling you, we've got some good people. I'm encouraged, and there's some good people that are telling me if I don't run for the first district of Congress seat, then they will. Doesn't promise they'll win, but we've got some good folks that would step up, and we've got some great people. I mean, I'm just can't tell you how encouraged I am by some of the strident conservatives that got elected in the last election. And Mark, we're going to elect some more to Congress this time, and I do think we're going to win the majority back.
Well, if it has to be without you, because you're off running for Attorney General, the first person that occurs to me geographically out your neck of the woods is Brian Hughes.
Yeah, Brian is our state senator for a big part of the district, and Brian is a dear friend. Matt Schaefer is a state rep for a big part of that congressional district, and he is a stalwart. Of course, you know, Brian helped on the election integrity laws. Matt helped with the constitutional carry. We've got some good people there. They're dear friends, and I don't know who for sure would run, but we've got some good alternatives, and I'm encouraged by that. But if I don't raise the money, I'm running again, but I am so scared for my state, because I see, you know, that feeling of, gee, I can see this disaster coming, but, you know, gee, what can I do? Well, I'm not frozen in place. seeing the disaster coming, I'm stepping out and I'm willing, you know, and I'm going to take a lot of slings and arrows, but I've kind of gotten used to that. Heck, I got thicker skin when I was a judge and people came after me there. So I got used to the death threats and all the maligning, but somebody's got to step up. The three that have signed up, they can't get to 50%, and we have got to have somebody that can replace Ken Paxton and do a good job. And I see great days ahead for Texas, and it will be such an honor to get to be the most honest, strident, law-confirming AG that we've ever had. That will be my goal.
So to recap, if you're just joining us, Congressman Louie Gohmert is joining us. $1 million in 10 days. If he gets that at Gohmert, yep. G-O-H-M-E-R-T, if he gets that at Gohmert.net, then he will... what will the nuts and bolts be of that? Will you then have to announce your retirement from Congress in order to file the paperwork to run for AG? What are the mechanics of that?
When I was going to run for Congress, I could not be in a judicial position and run for legislative office.
Right.
But you're allowed to be in a legislative position and run for something like attorney general. So I wouldn't have to resign immediately. I'll keep fighting the battles in Washington just like I'm doing now. And I'll be able to do that for another year. But hopefully November of next year, I will be able to be the servant. Actually, it'd be the closest thing to my aspiration stated in the Dallas Morning News when I was 6 years old. I couldn't believe they put it in the paper, but somebody asked me growing up in Mount Pleasant, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, a fine Christian sheriff. And people thought that was funny. It got put in Paul Krum's column in the Dallas News, and people thought, this would be the closest thing to that aspiration that I could do, and that would be Attorney General of Texas. Pretty close to being a fine Christian sheriff.
Pretty darn close. And I got literally yeah. 30 seconds, but just so you could, if the exploratory thing pays off and you wind up running, and if it doesn't go the way, if you don't succeed in the primary, you can just go still be congressman, be a fine Christian congressman, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, right. For the rest of the year, but I can't run for both Congress and Attorney General.
Gotcha.
I got to choose one or the other.
All righty. Well, listen, yep. You've placed that decision in the hands of listeners and people listening. Gohmert.net. Yep. And that is the place for more information. Louie, let's talk in 10 days, if not sooner. You know you're always
welcome.
You got
it.
God bless.
Thank you, Mark.
My
God
pleasure.
Bless you.
That is Louie Gohmert. All righty. The plot thickens. It's 8:25. Okay. How'd that work out for you? I'd love to analyze this for about 5 minutes. I'll do it in the 9 o'clock hour because we've got Bill O'Reilly calling in here. There's that O'Reilly Trump tour coming December 19th to AAC. What do they got planned for that? We'll ask him. But the bottom line. Here's Louie. I love Louie so much. I love that man so much. And here's the weird thing. His own stardom may work against him. He wants $1 million in 10 days at Gohmert.net. I think there are people who'd listen and go, Louie, I love you. And for that reason, I ain't donating to you. I want you to stay right where you are. Being a hero in Congress. And if we don't want Ken Paxton, we'll go vote for Matt Krause or George P. or Ava Guzman. We got this. But if you... And Louis' whole thing is these attorneys, these 87, however many there were, the attorneys that bolted on Paxton, and they hate him, and Paxton says they're just disgruntled, et cetera, et cetera. Louis says they're not. Stop ragging on them. And there's some huge shoe that's going to drop after the primary, and then we're going to get a Democrat AG. I don't know if you can make enough people believe that. I just don't know if you can make enough people believe. Is it possible? Anything's possible. Wow. Life just got more interesting. All right, the show's about to get even more interesting, if that's mathematically possible. Bill O'Reilly joins us next. In the newsroom, here is Gordon Griffin. It is 8:36 here on our Wednesday morning get-together, 10th of November. We are a month and a handful of days away from an amazing event hitting the stage at the American Airlines Center. You hear the messages voiced by one of the participants. That's where former President Donald Trump says, hey, join Bill O'Reilly and me for the history tour, the AAC, December 19th. Well, to hold up his part of the bargain, Bill O'Reilly is here to talk about that event and probably a few other things as well. Welcome back, Bill. How are you doing, sir?
How are you, Mark? Thanks for having me back.
I am great. So we've got the campaign is underway, getting everywhere. They make great Christmas gifts. Ticketmaster, BillO'Reilly.com. Tickets for December 19th at the AAC. To the extent that you want to reveal in advance, what are people going to see that night?
Well, I talked to President Trump yesterday. He woke me up about very early in the morning. The guy never sleeps.
I hate when that happens.
And I'm, you know, kind of gently leading him into a place where he's never been.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. So if you go to the American Airlines Arena.
Arena's in Miami.
Center
there. That's okay. No problem.
I hope Mark Cuban's not going to get mad at me.
Exactly.
And actually, I comped Cuban for the show. He owns the arena, but I said, you know, and I don't think he's coming. No.
That's gracious of you.
You know, and I said, look, I'll throw in a T-shirt because he, of course, wears T-shirts everywhere. Anyway, I'm gently leading President Trump into a place he's never been before, and that is a hyperbole-free zone. And he accomplished much, even if you hate his guts. If you're an honest person, you have to acknowledge that he accomplished a lot during his 4 years in office. The problem was the press did not report it because the press was invested in destroying him. And now, after 10 months of President Biden, we see it all falling apart. The country's falling apart, literally falling apart. And that makes this tour, this history tour, that's why I put the word history in it, much more important than when I conceived it 6 months ago. Because for the first time, I believe, people will see and hear what really happened inside the Oval Office. Now, you can say, oh, well, he's not going to. It's me. And I don't want to be conceited. I don't want to sound conceited here. But you know I'm not going to take any bull, and I know I'm going to have my facts right there, and I know history pretty well. I've sold 19 million history books. So, you know, there's no wiggle room. It's how did you get that vax in such a fast period of time? What was the process? How much did you have to pay? Who were the implements? Who were the impediments, I should say? Who were the people who helped? How about Putin? You got in trouble in Helsinki with Putin. What was that all about? Does Putin speak English? That kind of micro-level stuff. I can guarantee you, Mark, and I hope you come to the show and I'll comp you, it's on me. I guarantee you, when you walk out of there after 2 hours and 20 minutes, you're going to know so much more about your country than you've ever known before. Just that is worth your time and money.
Cuban may or may not accept your offer. I decidedly will. Can't wait to see you guys, and thank you.
All right.
Will you, you have to, how much or how little do you want to dive into the morass that is January 6th?
You know, it depends on, it depends on the framing of the story. So by that time, I believe that the federal judges will stay Biden's executive order that Trump has to turn over all his stuff. And you know, I think executive privilege will hold because constitutionally it doesn't say once a president leaves the Oval Office, his privilege is wiped out.
Right.
So that's clear to me. Left-wing press, of course, jumping up and down because they want to hang him. Now, I want to know what happened. I do. So I'll frame a question or two around that day and ask him a very direct questions about it. I will do that. And we are shooting all of, we have four shows, all right, the day before and Saturday we're at the Toyota Center in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week before we're in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm shooting all four shows, and that, again, is for the historical record. We're not going to show that. So if you want to see this, you got to come to the arena and the center. But anyway, it is troubling to me what happened on January 6th, and I think it should come out. I don't think this panel in the House cares about the truth at all.
No.
They just want to burn Donald Trump.
As such, this commission is a malicious political theater dog and pony show. I think we know what happened. There were a lot of people who gathered that day with serious and principled questions and doubts about the election. Some of them could not restrain themselves, broke the law, and deserved to be prosecuted. Boom. There. Didn't even cost you a dollar. I think I just explained precisely what happened.
That's all true. But then you have to enter the next realm, take the next step. So what was the reaction inside the White House when they were watching this on television?
That's a good point.
What was the discussion? So I know Trump as well as any journalist knows him. I know he's not going to foster rebellion because he understands that that will come out.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that he didn't want to alienate his devoted followers who were in Washington that day.
Mm-hmm.
So he was caught, and he didn't know what to do. That is really the crux of the second part of the story.
When we get around to his future plans, will you flat out ask him, are you planning on running in 2024, and what do you think?
Well, I can tell you now that he wants to run.
Mm-hmm.
But because of campaign finance stuff, he can't declare until January 2023, mm-hmm, after the midterm elections. But he wants to. Now, whether it's going to be possible or not, I don't know. I think very early on in the show, you know, I'm gonna open it up with it with why we're doing this, and he's here, and I will say to the audience, as I'm saying to your audience now, Mark, that he does want to run, and there's no doubt about that.
Everyone can see exactly what Bill says and what Trump says in reply at the Bill O'Reilly Donald Trump History Tour, American Airlines Center, December 19th. And go get tickets at Ticketmaster, BillO'Reilly.com. Get all kinds of things at BillO'Reilly.com, including some of his most recent no-spin excerpts, TV excerpts, and column excerpts. Let's take a little walk through some current events, shall we? What do you make of just the state of play right now, November 10th, of the Biden vaccine mandate? No matter how you feel about it, I'm very pro-vax, I'm proudly vaccinated, but this government mandate on private businesses is flat out unconstitutional. Where do you think that's going to go?
Well, it is unconstitutional, so that's the ruling. That'll be the ultimate ruling. But, you know, it's a subtle thing that most people don't understand. So if you run a business, if you own a business, I have three corporations, all right? I have about 60 people working for me. So I have the right to say, you have to be vaccinated. I have that right. And if they don't want to be vaccinated, they don't have to work for me. But I don't do that because for a number of reasons. But if you are a government, all right, a state or federal government, you can't tell Americans they have to be vaccinated. You can't, unless there's only one way you can do it, and that is to declare a public health emergency. All right? They did that with polio,
mm-hmm,
in the 50s. Okay? Now, with all the vax, it's not at the level where that would be credible. So the federal government, the state government, they can't demand that anybody be vaxxed by the Constitution. And that's going to hold. There are loopy judges everywhere, but, you know, it's clear. But private people can. So the National Basketball Association can say, look, all the players got to be vaxxed. It's a health thing. They're in contact with one another and close to the fans, so they have to be vaxxed. And there's nothing anybody can do about that. So that's the delineation.
In the flashpoint of the moment, is Aaron Rodgers a courageous, standing up for his own body sovereignty figure, or a tap dancing weasel trying to play both sides against the middle and just try to pawn off his unvaccinated status by another term?
All right, so I follow sports fairly closely. I think Rodgers is a man who's looking out for Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't think he's looking out for his team, because if he were, he would have got vaccinated. So, yeah, okay, there are two reasons you don't get vaccinated. And about 30% of the American people are not vaccinated at this point. There are two reasons. You are afraid of the vaccine, and that's the dominant reason. And now there's a political reason, because the far left is pushing it so hard, we're not going to let them tell us what to do. So Rodgers, I guess he falls into the fear category. I don't know why he wouldn't be vaccinated, but to say, you know, that he was immunized,
yeah,
you know, and he admitted it today that was misleading, and he hurt his team because they lost last week and they shouldn't have lost. That was a game they would have won had he been on the field. So I don't think Rodgers is a villain. I think he's a weak man.
What you describe as fear, under that big heading of fear, aren't there some people who we might just say are concerned for medical reasons of varying validity? He points to some allergic reaction to the mRNAs and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We can cherry pick whatever we wish. Some people have valid medical concerns.
Sure. Mm. Sure. And then they should be exempt. On a medical basis, there's always exceptions to the rule, and we have to have those exceptions. But Rodgers did not go through the process. He didn't do that. So then, you know, you come down to a guy who's misleading everybody. He gets COVID. He can't play. The team loses. And he looks like, as your word, a weasel. I don't think he's a weasel.
I don't either.
I think he's weak.
Okay, in a final couple of minutes with Bill O'Reilly, go to BillO'Reilly.com. Was Virginia an actual show of positivity for Trumpism, because everybody that voted for Glenn Youngkin, most of them love Trump, or was it a bit of a distancing from Trumpism because Glenn Youngkin knew that he couldn't campaign wearing a MAGA hat?
It didn't have anything to do with Trump. It had to do with Virginia not supporting parents who have a perfect right to be involved in their children's public education. That's why Youngkin won, because McAuliffe made that insanely stupid statement that parents should stay out and let the schools do whatever the deuce they want. I mean, that was just insane.
Yeah.
And once you reach that level of stupidity and arrogance, the independents were the ones that decided Virginia. And the independents will be the ones that decide the midterms and the 2024 presidential election. I keep telling Donald Trump this. I said, look, it's your base is there. It's not going to erode. They love you. It's not enough. You got to win back some independent people who are willing to consider you because of your success and policy. So you have to run on your record and try to knock off all the chaotic controversy. Now, I don't know whether I don't think he listens to me very much.
He should.
I don't know, but it's so clear to me. You know, if you run on your record and you put Trump's record up against Biden, let me give you one, Mark. I'll give you one that everyone in Texas listening to us right now will understand. All of us are getting punished by these so-called supply chain problems, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we're paying more for anything we want. We can't get stuff. The urchins will be in tears under the Christmas tree because they can't get some Lego thing they want. Okay. A year ago today, Donald Trump was still president. We're in the middle of the COVID horror. A year ago today, the COVID horror is a terrible grip on this country because the vax had just come out. Were there any supply chain problems, Mark?
There were not.
Can you explain that to me?
I would suggest that we didn't have policies coming from the White House that involved profligate spending, anti-business, brutal taxation, and just...
Right, but if you boil it all down, there weren't any supply chain problems because there were very few impediments. impediments to getting products to market. Okay, even in the middle of this, when meat plants shut down, when people weren't going to work, all of that, there was still an infrastructure in place to get the products into California, off the pier, into Costco. Okay? Now, with all the regulations and all the chaos and all the welfare payments and all of this that Biden has put in, he's eroded the ability to deliver product at a level that's never been seen before. He did it. He did it. And so, you know, when you see that dramatic problem arising, and then I could go to the border, you go to inflation, you go to the attack on the oil industry, it just across the board madness. And so Trump has a tremendous, tremendous opportunity if he runs on his record and stops the other stuff. And you know, look, it's my job as a historian slash journalist to tell everybody the truth, including presidents of the United States, which I do.
And that will be on stage, American Airlines Center, Trump and O'Reilly. You can't miss it. It is on there at December 19th on the stage. Looking forward to seeing both of you gentlemen. Tickets at America at Ticketmaster or BillO'Reilly.com. Get all the killing books, Killing the Mob. Bill, 30 seconds. New killing book in the pipeline, Killing the Killers, correct?
Yeah, it should be out today, but it isn't because of the
supply chain problem.
COVID.
Oh, no.
You know.
Damn you, virus. Damn you, virus. Denying us a
That's
Bill
right.
O'Reilly
Killing
book.
The Killers, the secret war against terrorists will be out early next year. I think it's my best reporting ever. And there's a lot of stuff that nobody's ever heard of on how we track these people down. And boy, you're going to, and I'll send you an advance, Mark, so you get a look at it.
Well, I appreciate it. And we'll talk about it at that time. And we look forward to having you on stage with Trump December 19th, American Airlines Center tickets, Ticketmaster, and BillO'Reilly.com. Bill, thank you as always. I know we'll talk again soon. Safe travels. All right. In our final minute here this hour, what an amazing hour this has been. There was Bill O'Reilly talking about the Trump history tour, what's going to happen on stage there December 19th. And before that, if you missed it, we had our chat with Louis Gohmert about why he is exploring. He did not announce that he's running for attorney general. It's a pretty simple proposition. If he gets $1 million in 10 days, he'll run. If he doesn't, he won't. He'll just stay there and be the first district congressman for as long as he likes. What in our next hour, how do you think that's going to happen? How do you think that's going to go? And we made some news in there with a lot of what Louis's thoughts are and beliefs are and his desire to remove Ken Paxton from the general election ballot. And there's a crowded field of people that want to do that. George P. Bush, Ava Guzman, Matt Krause. What do they all have in common? What are they all hinging their hopes on? We will address all of this and more. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, stick around.